أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Continuing with our look at the legacy of the Prophet, we've started off to look at his words, and I mentioned the hadith where he said, "One who protects my 40 ahadith so that people may benefit from them will be amongst those of wisdom and learning on the day of Qiyamah." In essence, they are simple instructions for day-to-day life which will take us to our full potential. Absolutely phenomenal. We've looked at the first 10. Let's look at the next 10 today. So the 11th one says, the Prophet would also always have dates and raisins for breakfast. Now, muesli is a good option. And these days we can get muesli, which already has probably raisins in it. But add chopped in dates for the morning. It's just like having Lucozade in a natural package. In other words, it's energy. So dates and raisins for breakfast. There is no fruit more liked by the Prophet than pomegranates. Again, there is so much research done on it, and they are so good for you. We're told, in essence, that on a Friday morning in particular, if you began the day with having a little bit of a pomegranate or even one pomegranate, then it would enlighten the heart. There's something in there that changes the inside. So pomegranates, inshallah, reciting Asma'ul Husna on it and then eating it. The 13th hadith. The one who brushes his teeth twice a day has kept alive the sunnah of the prophets, and that's not rocket science. To look after one's teeth is one of the recommendations of the prophet, and we know how toothache is so awful. The 14th, I've mentioned it before as part of another one, but cleanliness is half of faith. Such an important statement. It's so short, but so important. The 15th one, wear the right shoe before the left shoe, he said, and take off the left shoe before the right shoe. I'll repeat that. Wear the right shoe before the left one, and take off the left before the right one. I really don't know why, but he said it, and I'm sure we'll find a reason for it. The 16th one, one of the qualities of the prophets is to know the times of Salah. Now, I run a school on a Saturday, and in assembly, the first thing I ask the students who are there is, what are the times of Salah? And I'm hoping that that will just make it a habit in their lives. Most of us know the times of Salah when it's the month of Ramadan. In fact, we know them by the second, if ever there was one, for the time of Iftar and the time of Sahri. Well, why don't we know the times of Salah? Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. They are times when the heavens are open to accept du'a. And surely it cannot be difficult to put the times as an alarm on our phone. Maybe not to ring, maybe just to beep. But at least I know this is an important time. Hadith number 17. When the time of Salah came, he would tell Bilal to call out the Adhan loudly. Now today many of us have Adhan clocks as such. And we can time them so that at least in our houses, Adhan is recited. There are so many ahadith that tell us a house in which Adhan is proclaimed loudly will never be empty. That means there will always be people around you. There will be barakah. Allah will grant us more in this house. And there is something about the essence of Adhan that vibrates in the walls, that makes the house come to life. Number 18. He would always place a staff in front of him when he prayed. Now, I remember as a child that my Baba used to tell us that in front of the sajdagah, where we rest our heads, to put a tasbih. So that it was a demarcation. My attention would not go beyond that. And maybe that is why he used to put a staff in front of him when he prayed. It was like demarcation to say, right now I'm praying, nothing beyond this is going to affect me. Number 19, in Salatul Jama'ah, he would say, stand in a straight line and do not differ, for if you do, your hearts will disagree. You know, one of the things about jama'ah, when we hear the other ahadith that says two rakats of salah prayed in jama'ah are 70 times better than those that are prayed alone at home. And when somebody asks that, but you know, when we pray at home, we're focused, we're concentrated, we're not distracted by anyone. And the Prophet said, why don't you understand? When you pray in jama'ah, you are with people. And that's what it's about. It is about manifesting your help to others. When you meet people, you greet them. You understand if they have any problems, you can help. They can help you. It's all about living together in a community, in harmony. So he's staying here. Don't differ. For if you do, your hearts will disagree. When we pray together, everything else goes out of the window. And finally, the 20th one for today. Nothing would distract him from the Maghrib Salah when the sun had set. That means as soon as the sun had set, he would focus on divinity. It was the end of the day. And I'd like to end with something that my Baba taught me when I was very young. He would say, when you wake up in the morning to pray to your two rakats, remember he's asking you, what are your aspirations for today? Tell me. At Zohar, he said, how was your day? What was it like? At Asr, he's saying, it's only a little bit left for the day to end. So tell me your problems. Tell me what you want until the end of the day. At Maghrib, he's saying, it's getting dark now. Tell me all about your day. And at Isha, he's saying, it's time to have a good night's sleep. Tell me what you want to dream about, and I will help you. And those thoughts that my father put in my head helped all through the time I pray, because they're phenomenal to think about. Inshallah, we will continue with the next 10 tomorrow. Let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to understand and to read and to find out about the words of this most awesome man, the best of words from the best of creation, and to be able to implement them in our lives. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiu al-alim.